Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, you're listening to Core Dialogues Radio, presented by ID Group, where thought-provoking conversation and thought leaders meet on air. Every Thursday at 4 p.m., we hit the airwaves with forward-thinking ideas, philosophies, and questions, connecting our listeners to ideas that will get you thinking. The answers are in our studio. Now, here's your host and whole systems branding expert, Dr. Mona.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Core Dialogues Radio. We're streaming live as we do every week from the Business Radio X studios here in beautiful downtown Pensacola. And it is a very beautiful day here. It's a, a Chamber of Commerce kind of day. So I am your host, Mona Amadeo. And what we do here every week is talk with people that we think have some important things to say about the purpose and power of business in our world. And for those of you listening live, that's great. And we're here on Core Dialogues at businessradiox.com on a regular basis. But you can also check out what we're going to be talking about today, as well as our other guests that we've had in the past at businessradiox.com, Core Dialogues Radio. .com, where we post all of the programs that we do. So again, each week, the real purpose of the show is really to bring forth some really powerful ideas from people that I've had, some of whom I know really well as the guests here today, and some people that I've read about and learned from over the years that their ideas are worth listening to, as we say. And as you've heard me say before, we believe the stories about organizations and the people in them have a tremendous power to impact the world. So what we try to do is bring you those people each week that we think can maybe inspire you or, motivate you or maybe even just reinforce some of the ideas that you have or challenge some of the ideas that you have. So this week, I am just very, very excited to have with us here Jim Ludema. He's not in the studio. He's up in Chicago or outside of Chicago in at Benedictine University. And so he's coming to us via Skype. And, but Jim is just someone that, exemplifies so much of what this program stands for and believes in. Just a little about Jim. He is the co-founder and director of the Center for Values Driven Leadership and a professor of global leadership at Benedictine. And, he is, one of the leading experts in the area of appreciative inquiry and positive organization change. And I can tell you that his book, which it sits on my very close to me at my, on my desk, is called The Appreciative Inquiry Summit, A Practitioner's Guide for Leading Large-Scale Change. And it's really one of the classics in the world of change and change management. And he is also, from the academic world there, the past chair of the Academy of Management's Development of past chairman of the Academy of Management's Organization Development Change. Yes, I can say that. But before you put him in kind of the category of the pointy head academic, let me explain that he really does understand the real world. He's lived all around the world and has consulted with, some of the big boys, some of the big companies like Merck and BP, McDonald's, John Deere, just to name a few, as well as many international NGOs. So he brings a breadth of both the, he's that person who bridges that gap between research and practice, and he does it just beautifully. And so Jim is, as I said when I first opened, a friend, a mentor, and just full disclosure, he was my major professor during my doctoral work at Benedictine. And I will tell you this, what I learned from Jim and what I learned at Benedictine is really foundational to the work we do at ID Group and our process called Branding from the Core. So needless to say, he and Benedictine had a tremendous influence on me personally as well as on the work we do today. So, Jim, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here.
Well, thank you, Mona. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity, and it's great to be able to talk with you.
Great. Thank you so much. Jim, what I'd like to do is begin just to give our listeners a little understanding of the Center for Values-Driven Leadership. You are the co-founder of that. We were very fortunate to be a part of helping you launch that and launch that brand. And it's just an unbelievable opportunity, learning opportunity, and research opportunity, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But tell us a little bit about the Center for Values Driven Leadership. Maybe what motivated you starting that? What's it all about? And just give us some insight into that organization.
Yeah, Mona, the Center for Values Driven Leadership is really about helping values-driven leaders develop themselves and develop other people and also build great companies and to use those companies to transform business and society. You hear so much in the press nowadays about all of the things that companies are doing wrong. You hear about Volkswagen, Wells Fargo, and on, but so rarely do you hear those stories of the thousands of managers and executives and owners of companies out there who are doing business the right way, who are building their businesses around their core values, values like honesty and integrity, care for people, excellence in products and services, contribution to society. And we really want to study those companies, find those leaders, help develop them and help them develop their companies so that they can have even a greater impact on business and society going forward. So that's what we're all about. We're kind of like a mini think tank here at Benedictine University. We've got a doctoral program, a PhD program in values-driven leadership. We're launching this year a executive master's program in values-driven leadership. We offer executive education programs, consulting services, and we do research on values-driven companies to see how those values-driven cultures drive profitability, performance, and performance in the marketplace. So that's what we're about, research, education, and practice, all focused on great values-driven companies and leaders.
Yeah, I think one of the great things you guys are, from a contribution perspective that you're doing is, you know, there's such a narrative. It's interesting how the narrative out there about business and the evil, you know, the evil empire, so to speak, is really not reflective of so much of what's going on in the world. And I think the great things being done at Benedictine and at the Center for Values-Driven Leadership is maybe contributing to shifting, I think, that narrative in the world. So I think it's great. It's great work. So on that, you know, one of the things that you hear, we hear, we all hear is, oh, yeah, Mona, well, that's great. But, you know, this is about making money. And so what I am just so excited to talk to you about today is this idea of your or the project that you have called the Return on Values Project. And so tell us a little bit about that project, Jim, what you're doing and what your goals are in that piece of research.
With the Return on Values Project, what we're trying to do is demonstrate the relationship between a values-driven culture and financial performance over time in small to mid-sized companies. And we've partnered with the Small Giants community, which is a bunch of high-performing entrepreneurial firms. Many of them have been on the Inc. 500 5000 list as the fastest-growing companies in America, multiple years running. And we're looking at those companies and saying, you know, what are the values, the cultural, the culture, the organizational culture that you've developed in your companies, and how does that relate to your performance? And we're finding some remarkable results. And one of the things we're doing is we're creating this measurement instrument that measures the different aspects of culture and financial performance and makes correlations between the two. But then the other thing we're doing is going into a bunch of these companies and doing a deep dive into them. So we really understand all of the practices that they're engaged in. It's kind of like unpacking the DNA of highly successful, highly profitable, values-driven companies.
So when you go in, what from a standpoint of the companies that you're studying, so there is this assessment, if you will, that you have. Is that right? And then you use that to go in and further study from a more storytelling process, or what exactly are you guys doing with that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Okay. We do the assessment, and so that assessment will look at, you know, to what extent are your values integrated into all of your systems of your organization? To what extent do the senior executives in your company really walk the talk and live the values? To what extent are the values built into your training and performance evaluation systems? To what extent are they built into your hiring and firing processes and so on? And then we look at the financial performance of those companies over time and see what the correlations are. And then you're absolutely right. We go in and we ask them, so specifically, what are you doing? What kinds of training programs do you have? What are your hiring and firing processes look like, and so on? So we try to get, you know, really unpack what they're doing at a granular level.
So, Jim, do you think, you know, when actually it's interesting, I had this conversation today with someone because, you know, so much when we, you know, our branding from the core process is really, you know, built on this idea that when you can connect people to their values and their belief systems, and when you can really engage people in those kind of conversation, you know, there is a different level of excitement, energy, passion, you know, that's really unleashed in the organization, and much more of a likelihood of you moving the organization to that kind of next level, et cetera. But, you know, truthfully, Jim, one of the big challenges that we see is people getting excited and they want to do it. And it's, you know, the values that they discuss and share with us. But it is hard, Jim, to align that sense of this is what I intend to do. Even this is what I believe. But then translating that in a way that really from a structure, systems, process, it's really integrated, not into just how I feel, but how I do. What do you see, or what are you guys finding as one of the factors that really creates that, what you're calling walking the talk, aligning all of that together? What are some of the factors that really contribute to that?
I can give you a handful, and I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, that the CEO, or at least a very senior leader, needs to see him or herself as the chief culture officer. More than anything else, they need to pay attention to building the kind of culture they want and to take the lead on that. Number two, it's really key to develop clarity around your values. And so including people at every level of the organization and the entire organization, if possible, whether that's through some kind of online mechanism or getting together face to face to talk about what are our values, if you already have them, or if not, to develop a set of core values and say, you know, these are the values that we really want to live by. And so it's really engaging the entire organization in defining and clarifying those values. And then you got to make them visual, you know, get them up all around the workplace. There's a great company here in Chicago called Tasty Catering, and they're the largest catering company in the suburban area around Chicago. And they've got their core values up in every conference room, in their kitchen, in their dining room, in their offices, up on the wall on big placards. And every time they start a meeting, they go through all of their core values. And then when they're talking about decisions in meetings, they say, you know, let's bump this decision up against our core values. And so they really make them visual. And I think that that's key. So making the CEO the chief culture officer, developing clarity around values with the whole system, making the values visible. And then CEO storytelling is key. Getting out there and telling stories about how these values get put into practice. Another example of that is integrated project management here in Chicago. They're a project management consulting firm, and they work with all of the Fortune 500 companies to help them you know, streamline their processes and so on. And their core values are honesty and integrity, and they never compromise on honesty and integrity. And the CEO's got multiple stories of how companies have asked him and others in the company to compromise that integrity, and they say no, even if they lose money and lose a client. And those stories get told over and over and over again. And so that really reinforces the culture. And interestingly, they have a 98% repeat customer, they have 98% of their customers are repeat customers because of that reputation of honesty and integrity they have. And then the other thing that is really key, and this is a little bit more conceptual, but it's like aligning your strategy with your values. And so you actually create a product that allows you to live out your values. So, for example, there's a company down in Dallas, Texas called Beryl Health, and they're a call center, and they connect people who call in. You think you're calling into your hospital, but really you're calling into Beryl, the call center, and then they channel your call to the proper person in your hospital that you need to talk to. Well, when people are in distress and they're calling into their hospital or think they're calling into their hospital, they want compassion. They want somebody to listen. They want somebody to take the time to figure out what they really need and then get them to the right person. They don't want to be shuffled off in a hurry. And so Beryl has created that model, and their entire organization is based around the value of compassion. And so their strategy in the marketplace is aligned with their core value of compassion. And one of the things they do is they charge the hospitals and other health systems that pay for their services a 40% more than most other companies because they've got a different business model. They don't charge by the minute, they charge by the resolution of the problem that the customer calls with. So they can take as much time as they want on the telephone to make sure that customer gets what he or she needs, that patient gets what he or she needs. And so they can live out that value of compassion because they've created a whole business model around it. So those are some key things, Mona. That's CEO huge. Is yeah. Chief Culture Officer, develop clarity around the values with the entire system, make those values visible, communicate them through storytelling all the time, and align your strategy around your core values so that you can literally sell in the marketplace from a values-based perspective.
You know, Jim, and all great, great points. And I think that last one is the one that I wonder, do you see in your research and in what you're learning, is that the trip up for most people? Because it is a bit conceptual. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's particularly difficult if you're a company that's already, been in the marketplace for many, many years. Well, how do you make that switch? If you're selling pumps, for example, for agricultural applications, well, how do you all of a sudden create a strategy that's aligned with your values?
Yeah.
But what you can do there is you can say, you know, what is it that our customers really want, really need at the deepest level? What is the true societal value we provide to them? And then how can we begin to talk about that as a core differentiator for us in the marketplace? It's tough.
I think that's one of the more challenging ones as we, because obviously I agree with you on the chief culture officer, although, one of the things we've seen too in some of our work is that CEO being in touch with his own or her own core values, and leading from that position. And then secondly, Jim, I think we see the perception when we're talking about this narrative that's out there that's probably not completely accurate that says, well, you really can't be talking about things like that as a CEO, right? So I've seen two things. One, the CEO taking enough time to be reflective enough and insightful enough and questioning and challenging themselves. Do you see that as a key factor in the ability to lead a values-driven leadership, is to be in touch with one's own values as a leader?
Absolutely. And, one of the things here at the Center for Values-Driven Leadership that we really stress, all of our programs, whether it's our doctoral program or master's program or executive education programs, we really drill into leadership at four levels: leading self, leading others, leading the organization, and leading in society. And that piece that you're talking about, Mona, leading self, really understanding one's own self, having a lot of self-awareness, understanding what your own values are, understanding how you can align those values with the organization's values, and then really taking a stand for those values and not compromising and being consistent about that year after year after year after year is really, really important. Another thing that we found in our return on values project research that helps to support that is the notion of your financial models. So the companies we've been studying are small to medium-sized, privately held companies. Mm-hmm. And they talk over and over again about how important it is to maintain financial freedom so that you're not beholden to investors and outside financiers, so that they start shaping the culture rather than you. And not everybody can do that. There's lots of publicly traded companies out there, and it's a little bit more difficult in those contexts. But maintaining that financial freedom also helps a tremendous amount.
Yeah, and I think one of the good things that we're seeing, or I guess I shouldn't say good things, but to me good things, is that we are seeing that we can draw from a branding and marketing perspective, Jim, extreme connections between this whole idea of values-driven companies and demand in the marketplace. As we see shifts in the demographics of our society, increasingly people are looking for companies not only that give me a great product, but also stand for something more. So I think maybe a shifting perspective from that standpoint too, that maybe even the big boys, the publicly traded companies might, I think they are increasingly looking at that factor.
Yeah. You know, and I just want to reinforce that, Mona, because, you know, you did a bunch of branding work with us, your company, ID Group, and you use your branding from the core process. And I think that you really captured what we stand for, what our values are, the contribution we want to make in the world around transforming business and society. And it's all through our brand and our communication materials today. And we've won all kinds of awards with those, with that brand and materials that you helped us develop. I also saw another piece of your work with a company up here in Chicago called Inspira Health. And it's run by a guy by the name of Lee Murphy, who's actually a graduate of our PhD program in values-driven leadership. But the work that you did with them also to help brand their message of really working with people with multiple chronic health conditions to help them live a full and flourishing life. You know, the entire communication package around it and brand around it really speaks to that set of values, and it is helping them succeed in the marketplace. There's no doubt about it. So I think that's also a very important piece.
Yeah. And when you talk about stories, which I learned a lot from you about that, you know, the story, the narrative that we put out there comes back to us, right? It comes back to our employees. It comes back to that kind of, you know, that cycle of what you say. If what you say is in alignment with the truth, the authentic self, then that's those stories come back and reinforce. And so there is that reinforcing loop that the power of branding can actually, you know, serve be a part of this process. And yes, Inspira, actually Lee's been on the show. So that's a fantastic company that I can't say, you know, can't say enough about. So we were excited to be a part of that, as we were with helping you with the Center for Values Driven Leadership. I'm going to turn the page just a little bit, because, you know, one of the things that I know that is new at the Center for Values Driven Leadership is this certificate program in appreciative inquiry. And I have shared with people who listen to us on a regular basis that this whole foundational of appreciative inquiry as a way of approach, not only to business, but to life, is something really powerful. And I see now that you have a certificate program in appreciative inquiry at Benedictine. So tell us a little bit about this new program, what it's for, who it's suited for, and how people can find out more about it.
Yeah, our certificate program in appreciative leadership is really geared towards senior leaders in business. And it is a 3-workshop series. Each workshop is 3 days long. I think the first one this time around is starting in December, and then there's one, I think, in January and one in March. And the first workshop is around an introduction to appreciative inquiry, the foundations of appreciative inquiry. And appreciative inquiry is a methodology of organizational change, strategy development, and leadership development that begins by focusing on strengths. And so it's all about discovering when we have been at our best as an organization, or when I have been at my best as a leader, what are all the forces and factors that made that possible? What were my values? What were my relationships? What were my skills and abilities? What were my natural talents that I've had since childhood? And in the organizational context, how do those get combined with the strengths of everybody else in this organization to create sort of a catalytic impact on the organization? And so our appreciative leadership certificate program has 3 workshops. The first one is focused on a foundations of appreciative inquiry, introducing people to appreciative inquiry, teaching people how to use appreciative inquiry in the context of their organization to drive strategic change. The second one is all around appreciative leadership at the individual and one-on-one level to help people get in touch when they have been at their best as a leader and where they want to go as a leader, to understand their strengths as a leader and how to leverage those in relationships with others. And then the third one is about building high-performing, appreciative organizations. How do you build the kinds of cultures that we've been talking about during this interview that really drive financial and other performance indicators over time?
So when you're, and all of these are as of December, right? And will you just have loops of different time periods where there, and do you go through this like as a cohort or so it's a building process, right? You start with one, go to two, go to three.
That's right.
Okay.
You don't have to go through all three with the same cohort. No.
Oh, okay.
You can jump in at any point along the way. So you could start with the individual appreciative leadership workshop and then go to the organizational one and so on. So you can jump in anytime and we will offer the courses continuously over the calendar year.
Great. That's good. And are these in person? They're at Benedictine or?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
so
in
everything
person,
is in
face
person.
To face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you guys the model at Benedictine. I'm a little biased since I'm a graduate of their doctoral program there, but it is one of the most enriching ways to get executive education. The mix of people they bring in, the exposure that you receive to some amazing thought leaders, I think is phenomenal. So if this is something you're interested in, it's worth definitely checking out. Where would they find? Is that at Center for Value Driven Leadership or CVDL.org? Is that how they would find that program, Jim?
You got it.
Okay.
CVDL.org.
CVDL.org. That's call them now. But it is a great program. But Jim, just in closing, just a couple of things. I'd love to just in your mind, and what your experience as you work with companies, as you see people come through, are you optimistic? Or I shouldn't ask that question because you've always been optimistic, but are you even more optimistic about the role of business in society? Do you see have you seen a shift? Are you seeing a continuous shift? And do you expect to see even a greater shift as in the future around the power and the potential of business as a force for good in the world?
Absolutely. I am optimistic. I'm optimistic because the more we're involved in studying these companies, talking about these companies, writing about these companies, the more of these kinds of companies we find. And I think people are hungry for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly in the United States at this point, we live in a society where people are no longer willing to tolerate some of the things that they had to tolerate in the past in terms of workplace cultures and so on. And so they expect more. Yeah. And that's pushing companies to perform at a higher level around building people-centered cultures that allow people to flourish. And so, yes, I'm very optimistic about it. And there are a bunch of people in the academic world. There are a bunch of people in the business world who are working on this, and it is gaining steam. We're still in our infancy, definitely, but gaining steam.
You know, and you, of course, were a part of some of the research I did with a company by the name of Interface, and it's been over 10 years ago, I guess, that, you know, you could see the buds of the potential of this where individually people weren't sure if they could make a difference, probably didn't feel they could make a difference, but then collectively when they could bring their full self to a cause that Interface had of, as far as, you know, proving an industrial enterprise could be an environmentally friendly enterprise. It was an amazing thing to watch and to see. So I think I agree with you as I'm looking at companies and watching companies, I think people are getting it. That, you know, when people are most engaged and most excited is when they feel most involved and they feel a part of something. And so I'm equally seeing it in our companies that we're working with that I think maybe the time has come, Jim, of all the work you've done over the years and everyone else has done. I think it's starting to become moving to the mainstream, so to speak.
I agree with you. Absolutely, Mona. And you know this as a business owner yourself. It's hard work.
It is.
You still got to run a business. You still got to turn a profit. You still got to grow the company. You still got to, work with people day to day at every level. And what we're finding is that the more you focus on building a strong, values-driven culture, the more successful you're going to be in that endeavor. But it is.
It's tough.
It's tough work.
Well, and I think maybe the last piece that you put there, that last, when I was asking you about what are some of the drivers, and you were talking about aligning that strategy with your values. I think that's the piece, because, you know, you can have a CEO that's, you know, understands and believes, and you can have the clarity about who we are, what we do, and what we believe in. You can have, as you talked about, the visuals and constantly reminding people, the storytelling, but that translation, Jim, of all of that to the way we do business, the products we create and the services we offer, I think is the central piece. That is the hard work. And that, I think that's the, you know, figuring out how to really help people do that, I think is an important key.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Well, I think we're just about out of time. So I want to say thank you. As always, I'm always more inspired after I talk with you. I'm ready to go take on the world. So thank you for reminding me about that and continuing to inspire, and for all the work that they're doing. Some phenomenal work at the Center for Values Driven Leadership. And Benedictine University is a great place to look. If you're looking for a university, I think that not only teaches about values, but lives values. So a great place for you to check out. Again, that Center for Values Driven Leadership.org, or is CVDL.org. And if you want to learn more about the Center for Values Driven Leadership, about the certificate program in appreciative leadership, as well as the return on values project, you can learn more there. So Jim, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom, your enthusiasm, and all the great work you guys are doing there at Benedictine University.
Thank you, Mona. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, too. So next week, we look forward to meeting you here again at on the Core Dialogues Radio and learning a little bit more about the people like Jim who are choosing a different way to deal with the world and telling different kind of stories that we think is going to have or is having a positive impact on the lives that we live and hopefully our children's lives. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week here at Core Dialogues Radio.